Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome to God's house. So good to see the house full of people. Love Jesus. Looking forward to good things from Him. Good to see you in the house. Welcome this morning. We're on this series called Experience Jesus and His Church. We're going to talk about the church. The church is that changes the world. So, here's the words of Jesus, and He's talking about His church. Jesus said, says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18. He says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And then he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, says that Jesus came and He told His disciples, "I have been given authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Just have the next slide. And then he says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And then he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, these important words. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then we hear the words of Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And Paul says this, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless these short few minutes that we're going to be spending together in your word. Lord Jesus, Father God, open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see the wonder of Jesus and see the wonder of your church. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone would agree and say, amen. Amen. God, give us a wonderful revelation of Jesus. Give us a wonderful revelation of your church. The title of my message today is "The Church That Changes the World." I want to tell you, the church that changes the world, the people that change the world, will be a people of vision. You got to have vision. Now, next week I'm talking about vision, but I'm going to start it off this week. Talk to you a bit about vision. God has vision. God has vision for you. Do you know that? God sees you. Number one, you know how God sees you? God's vision for you is that He sees you saved. God sees you saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the words of Paul, the Passion Version. I like the Passion Version. "Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving." You know, God sees you. He doesn't see you as yourself. He doesn't see you as you see through your own lens, as inadequate or messed up. You know how God sees you? God sees you holy. God sees you pure. God sees you as one who has been given the grace of God, saved by grace, right? He sees you as perfect and blameless through the blood of His Son. He sees you through Christ. God sees you different. He sees you as His child. He says right here in verse 10, we have become his poetry. Something, you know, poetry is beautiful, right? Something that you talk about, something that you express. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. Why? How? For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. God sees you saved. Number two, God sees you whole. God sees you whole. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. You've been adopted into the family of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. You're in a process of wholeness. You're not staying or meant to stay in that place of brokenness. God is bringing you out. Amen? How does he do that? How does he make us whole? You know what he does? He puts us into his family. He puts us into his family in order for that to happen. He puts us in an environment where you're loved, where you're accepted, and where you're forgiven. It's the perfect place to be made whole. That's God's provision. That's God's plan, right? So God sees you saved. He sees you whole. Not only that, God sees you in his purpose. God sees you in purpose. Well-known scripture to many Christians, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where God says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God sees the full, eternal picture of who you are, not where you are right now, right? He sees, you know, we can look back and we can see that God has done great things and we can be thankful. But I want to tell you, but God sees you who you were. God sees who you were. God sees who you are. And God also sees who you are going to be. Amen? You see, God has 2020 vision. He's got 2020 vision for you and for your life. He doesn't just see your past. He doesn't see where you are. He knows where he wants to take you. Amen? God sees you in purpose. You know, the most important day of my life, and I probably say the most important day of your life, is the day of your salvation. When you got saved, your spiritual eyesight was opened and things began to change. Amen? It's just a big, but you know what? That's just the beginning. The most important day in my life is the day of salvation. The second most important day in my life is the day of revelation. You see, I was saved. I saw Jesus. I was seeing Jesus. I was loving Jesus. My eyes were open to Jesus, but I didn't have 20/20 vision. You know why? Because my eyes were not yet open to his church. I got saved. It took me a while before I got into church, and the Holy Spirit literally had to drag me into church. But when I saw the church, everything in my life began to change. Two vital, important days in my life. See, God's purpose is this, that you experience Jesus and you experience his church. Amen? My prayer today is that you not only have a revelation of Jesus, that you get a revelation of his church, right? Brian Houston, who's the pastor of Hillsong Church in Australia, says this all the time. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. That's God's plan for the world, to save the world. Jesus loved the church, and so he laid down his life for the church. The question is, shouldn't we lay our lives down for what Jesus laid his life down for? Right? Shouldn't we love what Jesus loved? You know, we need to have our eyes opened up, right? We need 2020 vision. You know, many Christians, I talk to, they're critical about the church, they're cynical about the church, and they could care less about the church. You know, they're blind. See, they don't see the full plan of God. They don't see it. So therefore, they're only living the partial plan of God for their lives. And they're wondering, you know, there's got to be more to life. Because they're blind. They don't see. They have problems with depth perception. I want to tell you, God's plan includes Jesus and it includes his church. Amen? 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah prophesied these words in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. The most what? Most important place on earth. It will be raised above the hills, and all people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There, it's there that he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. What is Isaiah saying? God is saying through Isaiah, the church is the center of life. It's the most important place for you to be and to be a part of. Amen? So the question is, do you see church that way? Is that what church means to you? Talk about vision. Vision is the power of sight. We're talking about spiritual sight here. Vision includes the qualities of color, brightness, size, shape, depth. You know, but many people are spiritually blind. You know, number one, they're blind. You know, you can be in church and you can be blind. The Bible calls them blind Pharisees. Jesus called them blind guides, right? You know, here was Jesus. He's there right in the flesh, right? And he's standing right in front of them, but they can't see him. They can't see Jesus. They can't see the fulfillment of the law right in front of them. They're blind. They need to have depth perception. Apostle Paul was spiritually blind. Do you remember Paul in the Bible? If you read the story about Paul in the book of Acts, Paul was so blind spiritually that he was a persecutor and a destroyer of the church and Christians. And he didn't even know what he was doing until he had an encounter, a sudden encounter with Christ. And he saw a light that was so bright that it literally blinded him physically. You know, someone said, God had to blind Paul physically so that he could see spiritually. And man, did Paul ever see. You listen to the writings of Paul. Here's one thing that Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. So not only does he have a vision of Messiah, he has a vision of God's church. And because he has this vision, he becomes a builder of God's church. I say this. We have two natural eyes. We can have two spiritual eyes. One eye is focused on who? On Jesus. The other eye is focused on his purpose. Let me tell you this. It's the eye of purpose that when it's opened up, it reveals the dreams of God's plan for your life. You've got to have the eye of purpose wide open. We need 20/20 vision. You see, the purpose of God is released. The purpose of God is open in our lives when you connect to the church in the way that God wants you to connect to his church. When you see that there's a place for you to serve, when you realize that there's a reason for you to give generously and with joy, when you take ownership, and when you see, and when you say, you know, it's not the church, it's my church, and it's my home. Right? You get, you know, your purpose is opened up. When you find friends that really care about you, that can grab a hold of God and pray for you when you're in trouble, they can encourage you when you're down. The purpose of God opens up when you start to care about other people more than just yourself. Amen? The purpose of God opens up when you find God's house, God's home, a place to belong to. Amen? You know, a couple of weeks ago, Ben Clausen, where's Ben? Ben, where are you there? Oh, there's Ben. With his lovely new wife, Maravik. Ben shared about his testimony in men's at the men's breakfast. And if you missed that, man, you missed a great testimony. And Ben was sharing how, you know, all our, like, I don't want to nail your family as being dysfunctional, but I came from a very dysfunctional family. I don't know about you. But Ben was sharing about his family and about his upbringing. And at 13 years of age, I hope you don't mind me sharing this again, but Ben was an alcoholic. And he was doing drugs, and he was an alcoholic at 13 years old. He was an alcoholic. Can you imagine that? But then years later, how many years have you been saved now, Ben?
5 years.
5 years ago, he got saved. He received Christ into his heart. But you know, he saw Jesus. His eyes were open spiritually, but he wasn't yet connected to the church. And Ben shared, his brother Dave, you know, Dave Clausen, great man of God, and in this church, came to his brother and said, "What are you doing, Ben? Come on, get into the church, get connected." And that's what Ben did. And when he made that choice, Ben was sharing about all the people, even in this church, in this family, that had hugely impacted his life. And he began to name a few people. I thought, wow, a lot of people were imparting to this young man. And you know what? He was hugely impacted by other people, but today, Ben Clausen is hugely impacting others. He is serving, he is leading, he's making a difference. Right? What a testimony. Some people are blind. Some people have, number two, they have a problem with partial loss of vision. They have no depth perception. You know, in professional sports, there's an attribute, an ability that you got to have if you're going to be good. It's called hand-to-eye coordination. You ever heard of that? Hand-to-eye coordination. The ability to see what you see will affect what you're going to do. You know, there are many injuries a professional athlete can have and get over, like muscle injuries, torn ligaments, you know, shoulder injuries, dislocations, even broken bones. They can get over those. But if you have a serious eye injury, that eye injury, it can take you right out of the game, right? And many Christians are out of the game because they have no depth perception. They have a partial loss of vision. A lot of Christians today, yeah, they're open to Jesus, but they're not open to the calling and the purpose that God has for them, right? You know, and God's trying to throw you the ball, but you can't catch it. Why? Because you have no depth perception. Amen? Number three, you can have cataract blindness. Like this guy in the Bible. His name was Eli, and Eli was a priest in God's house. He was the high priest in God's house. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And Eli had sin he had to deal with in his own life. And he also was responsible to deal with the sin of his two sons as well. His sons were also priests under him, and they were serving in the temple. But they were having sexual relationships with the prostitutes that were hanging around the temple, the shrine. And so Eli was doing nothing about it. He was blind to those things. He had cataract blindness. You know, sin is like a cataract that slowly clouds the eye. You know, maybe we need to get rid of some garbage in our life. No stuff in our life. Like some stuff we see on Facebook. Man, I look at that, some of that stuff, I think, what garbage. And people looking at that every single day. You know, maybe we need to get rid of some stuff that, you know, some garbage on Facebook. I mean, or on Netflix. There's some real garbage on there. You know that? You know, we're watching stuff that affects our spirit. And we're wondering, Why don't I feel close to God anymore? Right? Or why is Jesus not exciting to me anymore? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 says, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord, so important. There's a lamp in this house. It's the lamp of the Lord. And we do not want it to go out, right? And it takes incense, and it takes oil, and it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the presence of God, the fire presence of God, to keep the church alive. So the lamp of the of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. Samuel, this boy, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel was just an amateur. He didn't even, you know, he had a heart for God. But he didn't quite recognize the voice of God. And right next to Samuel is Eli. He's the priest. And God is calling Samuel. And Samuel, the boy, is hearing God's voice. Three times God calls him, Samuel. Samuel gets up, and he's hearing the voice of God, but he's saying, wow, is it God or is it Eli? So he goes to Eli. Well, Master, here I am. He wakes him up. Eli says, go back to sleep. You're just hearing things. Go back to sleep. Three times. Third time, Eli, the priest, recognizes that it's God. God speaking. But he can't hear God. He can't hear his voice. It's like a lot of Christians. We know all about it, but we can't. We don't know him anymore. We can't hear his voice, right? See, we need cataract surgery in our soul so that we can hear and see again. Amen? Number four, you can have color blindness. You can have color blindness when serving God begins to lose its color, you know? When serving and volunteering become kind of gray, right? Routine, boring, a burden, hard, difficult. Why do I have to come? It was the psalmist in Psalm 84. If you read that psalm, you just feel his passion. You just sense his awe for God's house, for God and his house. You know, the psalmist said, you know, just one day in your courts, first, you know, just one day in your courts is worth 1,000 days in the palaces, is better than 1,000 days in the palaces of the wicked, right? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, right? You should sense his passion and his awe for God and his awe for God's house. You know, you can be a Christian and you can be living in a world that's just kind of gray, where everything is kind of gray. Have you ever been in that place? I've been in that place, you know, where you just, everything, like, you lose your awe for the simple things of life. Like that beautiful sunset. Just a few weeks ago, we've got our grandkids in the back, and Karen and I are going, heading down east on 26th, heading home, and there was this, like, late afternoon, and there was this big full moon. Did you see that? It was a full moon. And the kids, and he said, hey, guys, look at the full moon. And they look, and said, whoa, look at that. Whoa, the moon. It's their awe for the very simple things of life. You see, in the same way that we lose our awe for the simple things of life, we can lose our awe of Jesus, right? Of his goodness and his grace towards us. We can lose our sense of awe. And our problem is, I think, is because we get caught up in this whirlwind of daily activity, which seems so necessary and is necessary. But when we just get caught up in the daily, you know, stresses and activities of life, we lose focus on our WIG, our WIG. You know what WIG stands for? Wildly important goal. What is our wildly important goal? It's God, it's Jesus, right? It's so easy. You know, and I think when that happens, I think we need to pray, God, open us up to your colors. Open us up to the awe of you. Open us up to the awe of the calling that you have for our lives. Amen? Some people are nearsighted. And all they see is their own life, their own family. They can't even, you know, they can't see, they can't touch other people's lives because they're all bound up in their own life. They can't see across the world. Not, you know, they can't even see across the street. They can't even see the neighbors in their own world. They're nearsighted. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world, right? Go into all the world. We need 20/20 vision. We need depth perception. Paul had depth perception. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he said, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. And then he says this, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. What is Paul saying? Get your eyesight right. Get rid of whatever is clouding your eyes and covering your eyes and begin to see clearly. See beyond where you are right now. See what God is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. God is saying, when you get focused on the purpose that God has for you, even the simple and mundane things that go along to that purpose, God will give you supernatural energy and boundless strength for you to do that. Amen? It's all about your focus. And then verse 22, Paul says, at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. We are the church. Amen? Number six, last one. We can have farsightedness. We can have farsightedness. You know, we can think that it's all about the mission across the world. We can think all, you know, that all Jesus wants us to do is to go to a different country. You know, and I believe in missions, right? I think that everyone should go on a mission. Everyone should experience that. That should be a part of it. But let's not forget that we have a mission field right here, right? We have a Jerusalem that God cares about and that he wants us to reach. Amen? Because everybody that lives in Lethbridge, in your neighborhood, they need Jesus, right? And they need a home to belong to. You know, and sometimes we can get so steeped up in our own struggles and our own problems that, you know, we can't, you know, we just can't see our problems. And I know some Christians, they've gone through financial problems, or maybe they're struggling in their bodies or having problems with the relationship, and they said, you know, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. It'll only change when we die and go to heaven. And so what's happened? Now their focus is only on heaven. It's only when they die that they'll be delivered from all this nasty stuff that they're having to go through. When do we forget? We forget that God has a mission field for us right here. That he has the power to get us out of those things. That he literally put us into the church to reach the world for himself. Amen? Every tribe, every language, every tongue. Win Arn is a consultant to churches. And he surveyed members of nearly 1,000 churches. And he asked this question. Why does the church exist? Why does the church exist? 89% said the church's purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. Only 11% said that the purpose of the church is to win the world for Christ. Thank God, your opinion, your attitude, and your belief is on the latter and not the former. Amen? So, question, I'm finishing up. Why is church so important? Why is it so important? Can I remind you? It's important because, number one, it's God's house. And in God's house, you can hear the good news, decide to follow Jesus, and receive the gift of life. Number two, in God's house, you can receive spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. Is God's house important? Yeah. And God's house, number three, your mind can be renewed by the teaching of His Word. God begins to transform you through His Word. Number four, in God's house, you can find friends, develop a healthy marriage, and you can raise a great family. How important is that? Number five, in God's house, you can learn a new and better way to live. In God's house, number six, you can find your home a better place to belong to. I said, where on all this earth, on all God's earth, can you find all this? Amen? Where? God's house, God's church. So I'm challenging you. Let's get a 2020 vision. Let's not just see Jesus. Let's see His church, right? So here's what I want you to do. Here's what you can, on your next slide. Thank you. Doing a great job. Here's what you can pray for. Here's what you can give towards. Can I say to you today that we need you, that you are vitally important to this house? And if you could join us and you could partner us with us, can you pray? Can you pray for these things? Number one, pray for a greater passion for the lost. Pray for me as a pastor that I have a better, greater passion for the lost. Pray for yourself. Pray for the church that we have a greater passion for the lost. Number two, pray for a City Light revival. We need a revival. This place needs to be filled 2, 3, 4, 5 times on a Sunday. And I'm willing to do that. I want to preach this message not once. I want to preach it 3 times if I have to. Amen? Pray for, number three, a strong, anointed worship team ministry. You know, we have a great worship team. We have lots of, you know, but worship is, there's such a warfare against worship. The enemy hates worship because worship literally prepares for the Word. It brings down the presence of God. We need a stronger and an anointed worship team. We have an anointing, but we need more people. Amen, Karen, Amy, Renee. We need, you know, if you're gifted in music, you can do stuff. You know, try out the worship team. You know, if you're gifted with sound and AV, join, right? Become of our worship team ministry. Number four, pray for new small groups and leaders. Listen, it's so important. The only way that you ever become a disciple, if you're going to really become a disciple, is if somehow you get connected to a small group, right? And so we want more small groups and more small group leaders. Number five. This is a very short list. I could give you 5 times this list. Number five, pray for a church full and overflowing with people. Why do we pray this? Why? Here's why. Because everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs a home to belong to, right? It's the place I call home. It's the place that I belong to. It's the place where I become the person that God wants me to become. Amen? So let's experience Jesus. And let's experience His church. Amen? If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Amen.